Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from our weekend service. We pray that as you listen, you will encounter the life and love of Jesus and be encouraged to experience what we've found to be the best life possible.
How many of you would agree that in when we think about family, we think about our homes, that if our home was a home of refuge, if our family represented a family that was strong and healthy, and in our home we lived a life of abundance, would that be a hand that would go up along everybody in here? Would that be an agreement in your heart that, man, that is a life that I would want to live? Yeah? I mean, let's just get down to it. I mean, that's the reality. As Christians, that's our hope. That's our desire, is to make sure that happens. And I believe today what the Lord has brought me to share with you is getting to kind of the grit of it. When we think about family, if the relationship between a husband and wife was healthy and strong and well, according to God's word, and that relationship between them and their God was likewise strong and healthy and well, then everything else in the home would follow suit. That's what I want to focus on this morning. I'm telling you, like, Proverbs, the gamut's huge. When you think about family, it's huge. Like Pastor was sharing, there's so much you could share. But I feel like the Lord was telling me to bring this word to light as far as a relationship goes between a husband and wife and our Lord. So in 2004, 2005, Riley, my oldest, was in the three range. And then my middle son, Ian, he was a toddler, and he was at that point where he's figuring out how to crawl. My wife, and we were in just south of Springfield in Nixon, Missouri. My wife, she was taking care of kids, so she would watch kids at home. And I managed a church furniture business in Ozark. And while we were there, we were building a family. I was in a good career. She was making income at home, and she was happy to be home raising our kids. And we were doing a lot to make sure that the home was taken care of. And in that time in our life, we were working about 10 to 12 hour days. I'd do my best to get off and be home around 5 o'clock if I could, assuming nothing crazy happened that day. Yeah, you guys kind of going with me here? This kind of sounds maybe a little bit familiar to you. I tried to get home for dinner. We'd get down, try to sit down at the table to eat together, because we really believe, man, you know, wrapping family around food, there's nothing better, because we sit there, we talk, we chat. You got to sit there and eat so you got time to talk, right? And so we're talking about our day. We're dialoguing about the day. Sometimes we're arguing. We're fighting about our day, or what happened, the difficulties of the day we relive at home, or talking about what needs to happen in the home and who needs to do it. Does that ring a bell? And sometimes arguments would come out, and sometimes there would be also health, and it would be good, and we would have dialogue, and we'd figure out what needs to be done, and we would make sure it would happen. And then we would maybe move or digress or move into the living room or into the around in front of the TV. Or sometimes we would grab a Bible. We'd sit down and we would pray. We'd talk about God. And all of that would happen. And then it'd be close to time for bed. And we would get the kids to bed, lay our heads on the pillow, and then repeat. You guys, is that, you know, and you think about, you could put that into your life. Personally, I wasn't content. I wasn't content at home during this time of my life. I wasn't content in my workplace. I wasn't content in my life. Things weren't all that great. It didn't take me long to realize that this race that I was in wasn't a race for me. My heart wasn't in it. For some, this is great. This is right where you're at. For me, it wasn't. I was right at a time where God was calling me out. He was telling me that I was going to do something slightly different than the one I was in. And how many of you know that when you're not in where God wants you to be, contentment is not going to be there. But for me in this time of my life, it brought confusion because for me, I was raised all about the American dream, right? I had a great wife, young family, nice house. We were in a good neighborhood, solid career. You know, the list goes on and on and on. America says, the birth words of it is, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, right? Well, we were alive, we were free, but I wasn't happy. I wasn't content with my life. I was struggling with a filter that I had up, and it was things like work is difficult and demanding. Infants are difficult and demanding. Moving is difficult and demanding. Life is difficult and demanding. My marriage was difficult and demanding. The filter I had was skewed. All I could see was things that were a responsibility, a duty, a tension, maybe strife in a relationship. There in my home, in the midst of all the blessings around me, all I could see was the bad. All I could see was the difficulty, things that I needed to take care of. And in 2004, 2005, I had developed an appetite for the things of this world and not for the voice, the truth, and the life of God. I had become toxic. And I didn't realize it. I had heard it over the years, but I didn't realize how significant, as the husband of the home, when you're toxic, how that spews over into every part of your home. It spews out in everywhere you go and what you do. But here's what's awesome. In a moment of surrender, I cried out to God because I was just like, God, I'm not content. This is not good. This is difficult for me. This is rough. God, can you help me? And I had been going to church a long time. Well, fortunately, I had a few men that I respected that had gathered around me at times and encouraged me to read God's word and had encouraged me to memorize a few scripture verses, you know, to place those words in your heart. And fortunately, in this moment in my life where it was difficult, God brought up his word to me. And he spoke to me in a way that only God can speak. And Pastor, I'm sorry, but it doesn't start out in Proverbs. But we'll get there. We'll get there. But what God was speaking to me was Psalms 119. And when I was young, I'd hidden my heart. And it's, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. I seek you with all of my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And in that moment, God was speaking to me. And that part with hiding it in your heart, I was struggling with that. There was a reality for me, whether it was knowingly or unknowingly, I was sinning against God because I realized in that moment, while I had that scripture in my heart, I was living a life of biblical ignorance. I wasn't applying God's word to my life. I was treating it like another book that I would read a story, read something about God, and then I would close it, put it back on the bookshelf, and go about my life. I wouldn't apply his word to my life until this moment. This was a turning point for me. This was when God started messing with me in a good way. You see, my life was messy because I was not learning and applying God's understanding to my life. I was pursuing and building a comfortable kingdom for myself, separate from God, and then wondering why he was not blessing it. I was not content and left wanting because my pursuit, my attention, was not built on wisdom that works. Hear me out. Make sure that you grab a hold of this. True fulfillment can only come through relationship with God and us allowing him to create an appetite for more of him. If you're taking notes, and I encourage you to take notes today, write this down. Temptation will bear sin every time in a heart that is void of God's word. Temptation will run rampant in our lives if we don't have something to do battle with it. If we think that we can do battle with the enemy by changing our actions, changing what we do and how we do it in a physical sense, we're all wrong. And that's why we're losing the game. And that's why so many in here, your families are in turmoil. Things are messed up. Life isn't pretty. Life isn't great. We should be representative of Christ in this church. And I'm not saying that bad times won't come, because they will, but that we will be a people that are ready to rise up and battle that. But we can't do that, church, if we're not taking the word of God and hiding it in our heart. And that's what I learned in these moments. God's word was hidden away in my heart. And when you hide it in your heart, it becomes a shield for you. It becomes your refuge, your strength, because it will guide you in those moments that you need God the most. Do I have an appetite for the things of God? Ask yourself that question. Do I have an appetite for the things of God? And if not, I need to start developing one so I can no longer allow Satan to use my life as a playground. You know, when you think about your life and the situations you're in right now, perhaps there's probably something that comes to your mind right now that's just a major struggle for you, whether it's a personal temptation or the enemy's literally attacking you and ripping your family apart. And you're like, what do I do? I go to the Word, I read it, I talk to people at church. What do I do? My question to you is, how much of it do you hide in your heart? How much do you take the Word of God and you allow it to truly change you in here and in here? And then in those moments, are you able to grab from a fountain of life? Are you able to take the word and see what God is telling you, what he's challenging you to, and then apply that in this situation in your life? Because there's so many situations that we struggle with that if we were to meet it with the truth of God, the enemy would surrender. He would have to, because it can't stand under God's truth. So developing an appetite for the things of God is what changed me. How many of you have heard, happy wife, happy life? Yeah, it's used a lot. It's coined everywhere. You hear it a lot. But God's word is so much more profound. And I would encourage every man in here to read this with me, okay? Proverbs 18:22. If you can put it up there on the screen, that'd be great. Proverbs 18:22. Okay, let's read this together.
He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord.
Woo! He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. The meaning to this passage is such. Young men, listen up here. To marry a wife is no light matter. She will be the making or breaking of a husband and his home. The word of God in Hebrew basically means strength, firmness. The same word used in Joshua describing men of valor and often simply meant army. Here it meant strength of character, embracing both her capabilities as a housewife and her integrity as a woman. The same word used in Ruth 3:11 was to describe a heroine as a woman of worth. Such a woman is royal indeed, who not only brings honor and dignity to her husband, but also brings out the very best in him. This was drastically different from the kind of wife who, through shameful behavior, makes herself worthless and brings disgrace to her husband and saps his vitality like a wasting and fatal bone disease. Woo! Ladies, which kind of lady do you want to be? I think it's pretty evident in this room, huh? I think we're all pretty smart on that. In other words, guys, find a good wife and the Lord's favor will follow. Well, I already had one. I just hadn't quite figured it all out yet. You see, for me, the beginning of our marriage was built on expectations. Expectations of how she should take care of the home. Expectations of what I had formed from seeing my mother doing specific things. Expectations of what society said. Little was built on God's word and what he defined. Tracy and I would often fight when I would come home because, and this sounds so, thinking about it now, stupid on my part. I'd come home and I would fight with her because things around the house wasn't perfect. Because things didn't look just exactly right. And I would lend a hand when I could. But, you know, I'd come home, and not everything would be perfect. And trust me, I'm not throwing all her laundry out there. And I did ask her if this was all good, and she did read this. But here's what was stupid on my part. I'm accusing my wife of being lazy because she can't balance taking care of the kids, washing the dishes, let's go down this list for a second, scrubbing the bathroom, vacuuming carpets, entertaining the kids, dusting furniture, blah, 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 blah. I had all these expectations of what should be going on. And because I came into the home with an expectation, we would fight. Because in my mind, I was trying to define my wife by the expectations I had drawn on over the years of my life. And that is not fair. I was not looking for what was good in my wife. All I was doing was picking out all the bad. So obviously we would fight. I felt that Tracy didn't respect my wishes. She felt like giving up because she would never be good enough. And when I began to focus on what was good, things began to change. And I got to tell you today, our marriage is awesome today. And it's by the grace of God. God has moved in our home, and it has been amazing. And all of it started when God changed my lens. When I started grabbing a hold of some responsibility as a man of God and saying, I need to change some things. Because if I change some things, it's going to influence and affect my entire home. Men, hear me. We lead our home whether it be positive or negative. We lead our home. And ask yourself this, is my example worth following? Is my example worth following? It wasn't until I started to see the good in Tracy. It wasn't until I started focusing on all the good things that she was doing that things began to change in our lives. And things changed in a dramatic way. She started seeing a man that was seeing the positive in her. And we all know in here that that is someone. How many of you want to serve someone that just wants to pick at you? Who of you wants to serve someone that's undeserving, especially in the home? Sometimes we just got to eat it as Christians out in the world. But when you're in the home with a person that's supposed to be your soulmate, man, reality hits. And it's like, you know what? You need to be good. You need to take care of one another, and you need to see the good. And so when I saw the good in here, things changed. Men, I mean, everything changed. Everything changed. Proverbs 18:22, who finds a wife, finds what is good, and receives favor from the Lord. The favor came with Tracy wanting to do more. Whenever we took care, whenever I took care of me and I looked at what was good in her, things changed. Take note of this. Remember this. Write this down if you're taking notes. Your home becomes a refuge when a husband's and a wife's example of love comes from Christ. When we truly, and I'm talking truly, put Christ at the center. And me as a man of the home, we're supposed to be the spiritual leaders, guys. In case you didn't know that, we're supposed to be the spiritual leaders in our home. It wasn't until I took responsibility over that and I started applying the word of God in my life, in our home. I stopped putting God's word on a shelf and I started putting it in my heart. And when that happened, things began to change. If you've got a Bible, open up to Proverbs 31. I believe this is a cornerstone, part of a cornerstone for a strong family. The cornerstone of a strong family is a man who adores his wife and fears the Lord. It is so healthy for us as men to raise up our wife, to adore her, to love her, to as if put her on a pedestal that she is amazing. Because she serves our home. She's the glue of our home, guys. She's what helps make sure the home is taken care of. And if that's taken care of, then we can do what God has ordained or showed us to do. Whatever God's calling us to do, we can effectively do that knowing that the home is taken care of. And sometimes in today's age, that role flips. And when that flips, the responsibilities can change. But on a biblical standpoint, our responsibility is still to lead our home spiritually. So sometimes those roles can flip, but in a Proverbs 31 talks about the wife, a beautiful, awesome, noble wife. And I'm not going to read it. I want to encourage you to read this at home. There are some parts of it I want to read. I'm not going to read the entirety. The wife of noble character who can find, she is worth more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She considers the fields and buys it. And I'm going through a few of these. Her husband is respected in the city gates, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. Verse 25, she is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. Verse 28, her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Imagine, church, if we as men used that lens by with which to see our wives. If we took Proverbs 31 and we looked at our wives in that way. And so I want to encourage you, this is obviously, today is for everyone, but I'm telling you, if we can get some of this into our heads as men, then it's going to affect and influence our home in a great and mighty way. And I want to encourage you that as I'm sharing today, I am going to ask, I believe God has called me to encourage an altar call time, and I just want to prepare your heart now that as the truth of God is speaking to you, be prepared to put things into action today. I believe that there's going to be strongholds here today that will be broken if what Pastor Chad talked about, the pride of life, if we can just let the pride fall away and we can say, God, strip me of everything so that you can make me whole. I want you to prepare your heart today that as the word of God is touching you, that you'll be prepared to respond today. That you'll be prepared to respond and break the chains that the enemy is trying to just tie you up with. Everything that he's trying to do to break down your home, to confuse and make the room, your house, chaotic. I want to encourage you to break those strongholds today, to put this into action today. So if we were to look through this lens, here is perhaps some things that I would say about my wife, looking through the lens of Proverbs 31. And guys, place your wife's name into this as well. Tracy has character and is worth more than fine jewels. I have complete confidence in her, and she is very valuable to me. Tracy plans to bring me good all her days. Tracy buys us clothes and food and eagerly works. Tracy is like the UPS man bringing us a gift at our door. Tracy stays up late preparing the next day's food. When hard times come, Tracy doesn't worry. She prepares our beds, and she's a t-shirt and jean girl. Tracy is clothed with strength and dignity and does not worry about tomorrow. Tracy watches over our home. And she's not lazy. Our children wake up and they greet her with praise. I greet her with a kiss of praise. Men, if we honor our wives and we look at them through this lens, our homes will start to come in line. It'll start to make sense. Our wives will desire to be in the home and serve in a capacity that will blow your mind. And our goal isn't to love and honor our wives so they'll do all these things. That's just a byproduct of a reality that we truly love our wives. Proverbs 14:26-27. Whoever fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for their children it will be a refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, turning a person from the snares of death. Here we see having a healthy fear of God creates a secure home for you, for your spouse, and for your children. Your fear or respect of the Lord will be what brings your home to life. These words show that the reality of God's word, if we can grab a hold of Proverbs, is that it brings life to us. If you're taking notes, write this down. Remember this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge that will build a strong home. If we have a healthy fear of the Lord, our lives will align with his word. and life becomes vibrant. Life becomes awesome. The home becomes a refuge. The home becomes somewhere you want to be, a dwelling place that you strive to go to. The family will become strong. The children will witness a reality of what true love in Christ looks like. And they'll follow suit. Ladies, be a Proverbs 31 woman and show your family what sacrificial love of Christ looks like. Men, exemplify a healthy fear of God. And when our home becomes a refuge and our families are strong, through the Lord's word, a supernatural contentment will follow. I promise you that. Because what I shared with you earlier is not who we are anymore. I am very content. I am very satisfied. And you can ask my wife likewise. And it's because of God. It's because we took his truths, we hid them in our heart, and we applied them to our life. And there are times where we don't know what's going to happen, but God does. There are times where situations will come and we'll think we're not prepared. But if we've hidden the word in our heart, then we've done our due diligence to prepare ourselves for the attacks the enemy brings. And we can do battle because we've got his truth, his word, to rear up and show us what we need in that moment. Talking about contentment, Proverbs 5, 15 through 23 talks about contentment. If we were to talk about the fear of the Lord, and write these down. So Proverbs 5, 15 through 23, I'm not going to read it just for the sake of time. But this talks about contentment. Proverbs 18, 12 through 21 talks about healthy fear of the Lord and an abundant life. The reality of these two, read these, study these. And if you take that to heart, what you want to remember from this is basically that be wise and content in what the Lord provides and your life will become abundant. The moment that I applied God's word to my life and I saw it start to work out and the communication got better between me and Tracy, the way we did conducted our lives got healthier and whole, things changed in a dramatic way. Church, it is crucial that we are prepared and ready for what the Lord brings our way. Amen? And the only way that we can be prepared and ready is if we have an appetite for God. How do we develop an appetite? Anybody like brownies in here? Can you think back to the first time you had a brownie? That's tough. It's tough. But before you had that brownie, you had no idea how good it was. How many of you enjoy a good steak from time to time? Oh, glory, Pastor says. Oh, glory. Men's retreat steak, just saying. Think back to that first time. And before that, did you know how good it was? No, because it hadn't touched your palate. But after it touched your palate, I'm sure a lot of you develop an appetite for steak, like Pastor and myself. We love steak. We look for ways to go eat steak. Some of you have a sweet tooth that you've developed, right? And over time, you've formed an appetite for it, and you desire it. So when I say, do you have an appetite for God? My question is, have you spent time with him? Have you read his word? Have you hidden his word in your heart? Have you developed an appetite for God? And if not, I want to encourage you today to start that. If you want to see your home be a refuge, if you want your family to be strong and healthy and thriving, if you want to live a life abundant that is amazing, that God can do so many things if we just allow him, and all he's saying is, I'm extending an invitation to you. Won't you come and be a part of it? Won't you come and enjoy what I can show you? We can do this together. You're not alone. Here's a concern that I felt like God was placing in my heart to share with you. My concern is that for many of us, we've developed a slightly different appetite. Even though we're Christian and we're good people and you know, we go and conduct our lives. My concern is that our pursuit of happiness has hijacked our spiritual discernment for God's kingdom. I want to challenge you in this moment, don't let pride rear up. These are strong words coming from a pastor that loves you. What action step do you need to take today to get right with Him? When we think about our homes, many of you may have a great home life, and that's great. Be praying for those that don't, because there's many in our church today that are struggling. There are many in our church today that aren't. So if you're not, I want to encourage you to be praying for those that are. Because I'm telling you, the enemy is attacking. God is moving here at Central. And He is advancing His kingdom through our people. So naturally, the enemy is going to attack. He is going to go after us. And I'm telling you, that is happening. My hope as one of your pastors, supporting our lead pastor, is the reality that I hope you're ready to do battle. That I hope your development of an appetite for God is strong. Because the enemy's coming to attack. Because God's kingdom is advancing here in Independence and Central Assembly. God is moving. God is doing things. So ask that question of yourself today. Concern yourself with this. Do I have an appetite for God? Do we need to start developing that appetite? If He were amongst, think about this. Okay, think about it this way. Do we know His voice? If Jesus were in the room right now, would we even recognize Him? Does His work, not ours, does God's work seem so foreign to us that we don't get involved? Church, I love you. This was a wake-up call for me, and I hope it wakes you up. I hope it jars you a little bit to the reality that, man, if we can grab a hold of these truths and apply them to our lives, we will become so healthy and live a life of abundance that's going to flow out of here and truly affect the guys and gals that are using drugs outside, that are getting paid to have sex, that are so screwed up and messed up, we might be able to start seeing a glimpse of hope in their lives. That the people that come through these doors will start to see people that show and extend love to each other. That whenever we're doing events, it's not the events that brings them in. It's that they've heard about Central through things like Servolution, like Pastor's talking about. It's through those acts of kindness that they're coming to our event and they're cheering on God and what He's doing. And they're coming to our events and they're like, hey, you guys rock because we know you love Jesus. And then eventually all of that has challenged them to a point where they have developed an appetite for God. All based on the love we've shown them.
Pastor Steve invites you to respond to what you've just heard by putting it into action today. Thanks for listening.